You know, that's what you have heard maybe about Pakistani people. Many of them are doing some bad things, killing people. But my job is to bring the terrorists into the kingdom of God. My job is to make Jesus known to them. That's what we are doing in Pakistan. So first I want to show some pictures how we are working in Pakistan, how God has been using us to make him known in a country where we have 97% Muslims. 97% Muslims are living in Pakistan. The toughest place to live for Christians. So that's my mission pictures. I would request, brother, please, would you play next picture. That's our vision. And first of all, we are raising leaders. We are making disciples in Pakistan. In 2015, I started a Bible school. The reason in Pakistan, there are so many things going on. I believe many preachers from America, they are going in Pakistan and preaching the word of God. And mostly, they are preaching so much emotionalism. And the reason we are so much influenced by the emotionalism. So just God put in my heart in 2015 when I finished my master's study from Korea. I must train leaders who knows solid gospel. Because sometime gospel is being preached, but it's not the gospel what Jesus asked us to preach or commanded us to preach. So we are trying our best to raise good leaders. We are giving 2 years ministry diploma, and that school is making great impact. It's new school, but I believe it will be upgraded very soon by His grace. Next, please. That's graduation ceremony and my disciples we have there in Pakistan. And second, our mission is we are planting churches and having revival meetings in Pakistan. We have revival meetings in Pakistan to share the word of God, to evangelize them. And then we have church planting project too. Because I believe that church is the great, you can say, indicator of God's presence in Pakistan or everywhere in the world. So we plant churches, and my vision is to plant 100 churches. We have planted four churches, and fifth is already ongoing. We started church building there in far remote area, and it is under construction, that church. So God is using us to plant churches and evangelize people. We are reaching to the unreached and trying to reach them, making them. We are trying to make a relationship with them so that we can share Jesus with them. Next, please. These are our revival meetings. I try to show that. I try to tell people that I am your servant. I am servant leader. I am not big dog, nothing. Just God has given me chance to serve you. Next. We are helping children. And we started one school for children this year in March. And we had not much time to advertise and tell people that this is what we are going to do because our church building was under construction. But in March, we got only 3 students. When after summer break, we have June, July, August, summer break. But end of the summer break, when we reopened our school, now we have 70 students. Because my church is in slum. So many parents, they cannot send their children to school. So we are trying to educate next generation. Pakistani Christians, they are persecuted. They have so many challenges. And one of them is this, that they are working, they are doing very low jobs in Pakistan. Majority of them are sweepers or cleaners. That's the job Muslims want to give to Christians. Not good jobs, just sweeping, cleaning. Cleaning the bathrooms of Muslims. So that's the job Christians are doing. So my mission is to raise, to educate Christians, Christian children, so that they can be a good citizen. You know, if minority is poor or minority is uneducated, nobody respects. So we are minority, just 3%. It is good way to be light of the Pakistan if they are educated, if we can educate them. Next, please. Now their children, we are supporting them, we are teaching them. Next, please. Persecution. Many people, they don't know how Christians are being persecuted in Pakistan. We have 295 BC blasphemy law. That blasphemy law is to target Christians. There are two ways Muslim persecute Christians. You have read in church history, persecution was from the state. Roman government was persecuting Christians. But in Pakistan, situation is a bit different. In Pakistan, Christian government directly, they are not trying to persecute us. But blasphemy law 295, clauses B and C, that law is somehow black law, dangerous law for Christians. How they use that law to attract to target Christians? First, B clause says that if somebody says something against Muhammad, he must be put into prison or must be killed. So when Muslims, they have problem with Christians, they use this law to target Christians. They accuse falsely. I have seen this Christian, he spoke against Prophet of Islam. And that guy will go to the mosque and Imam, he will tell Imam, and Imam will announce in the mosque that this guy has committed blasphemy. And whole the community, mob justice is very much popular in Pakistan against the Christians. So mob, they rise and they attack on Christians. They burn houses, they kill Christians. They do what they want to do. And government is paralyzed mostly. Government cannot do anything because most of government officials, they are Muslims. Maybe they are trying to protect us, but in their heart, they have sympathy, they have love for mob. Because mob is doing good thing for our, they are serving Islam. They believe that. So this was that attack was in 2017, December 17. So they killed 9 Christians. They attacked on church. They killed 9 Christians, and 54 were injured badly. So we visited them. This guy, he tried to stop terrorist suicide attackers to enter in the church. And they just shot him like this. This part is completely paralyzed. It doesn't work. So we went there, prayed for them, consoled them. And we told them that Jesus loves you. Your sacrifice. He knows what you are going through. Next, please. Blasphemy law C. B is to target against Christians. If somebody speaks against Muhammad, and C clause says if somebody says something against Quran, he must be killed or put into prison. Clause C. So they burn Christians, they don't burn Quran. I don't believe that this is a way to glorify Jesus. Do we glorify Jesus by speaking against or insulting against somebody? I don't think I glorify Jesus by burning Quran. No. Jesus never taught us to do that. Christians don't do, but they are accused. And accusation is based on just lie. Fake accusation. I have completed my book in English. Christian Tears of Pakistan Under Blasphemy Law. So in that book, I have shared some stories. I have an eyewitness of many incidents, many persecutions, persecution incidents which were against the Christians. So that book, I'm sure it will help people to understand how Christians are being persecuted in Pakistan. So C clause, nobody insult Quran, but it is way to target Christians. That's how they use. This girl, Maria, she was kidnapped and raped by 5 Muslim friends. And still they are crying for justice. There is no justice for them. In 75 days, 28 girls were kidnapped and raped and forcefully converted into Islam. That's bad. Next, please. This girl lost her leg in church attack on church. That guy and these 2 sisters, their husbands died in the church. Next, please. We have Clean Water Project. 80 to 85% Pakistani people, they drink dirty water. So we have already dig five clean water wells. We drill the ground and get water 400, 500 feet. And then we get a laboratory report from government and they allow us to provide this kind of clean water. This is what we are doing to make Jesus known in Pakistan. And this clean water is provided by the church. We want to tell them, even you persecute us, even you are giving tough time to us, but still we want to show or we want to extend the grace which we have received from Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way. Next, please. That's our outreach ministry. These people are from the Alexander the Great's descendants. Alexander the Great, he went to Pakistan long time ago. River we call River Jhelum, up to that river. And that, some his soldiers that I read, they get lost in that valley. And they got married, the ladies there. And now we have 4,200 Kalash people. Kalash people are from the, they are the descendants of Alexander the Great. So they are not Muslims. I decided, and my team decided, we must go there to share Jesus with them, to make Jesus known to them. Because many Taliban, they forcefully converted them into Islam. Our government doesn't allow to evangelize there. But we adopted one strategy that we will go, we will just make a relationship, and we did. We just went there, we made a relationship with them, we talked with them and told them, where are you going after you die? They said, we don't know. We told them, we can tell you where you should go and who can take you to heaven. So we told them about Jesus Christ. That's the good way to reach people. Next, please. Thank you. So this is what we are doing in Pakistan. Making him known to all nations. How we can make known Jesus to all nations? Our scripture today, Jesus told his disciples, I want to just read again. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus told his disciples how you can make me known to the nations. I believe that reaching to the nations, doing mission, is God's heart. Mission is heart of God. God wants us, everybody, to make him known where we are and in the nations. Somebody said mission is the mother of theology. Mission, reaching to the nation, is the mother of theologies. And if a church is not mission-minded, that church is not church indeed. So making him known to the nation is the master's mandate for us. That's master's mandate for every one of us. I was reading one day, Billy Graham, the great evangelist, he said three things will never change. Three things will never change. First, he said, the nature of God will never change. God has been hating the sin. He will hate sin. God doesn't like sin. That's God's nature. He doesn't like sin at all. He is holy God. Seraphs, when they were in the presence of God, Isaiah chapter 6, they were shouting, they were declaring, holy, holy, holy. God is holy God. He hates sin. He cannot tolerate sin. So his nature will never change. He will never like sin. That's why God doesn't like sin. He hates sin. We need somebody whose righteousness can take us to heaven. And he is Jesus Christ. I can never be holy. I will never be good enough to get to heaven. Never, ever, never, never. I need Jesus Christ. He is holy. He is perfect. His righteousness has satisfied God. Many people say, Jesus died for us. That's true. Maybe you have also said many times, Jesus died for us. Jesus died for me. Let me add one more thing. Jesus died for me. That's a good phrase. But I always tell people, Jesus just not died for me. He lived for me as well. He lived for me. If he has not lived holy life, there were no chances for me to get to heaven. Because of his righteousness, I can go to heaven. He died for me, but he lived for me as well. His righteousness has been imputed in our life. So whenever God looks at you, he doesn't look at you. He looks at his son. His righteousness can only satisfy God. One day, I was telling my students, God has nothing to offer you except grace. God has nothing to offer you except grace. Because Jesus died for our sins. He lived for us. Jesus died for our sins. He satisfied God's justice. So whenever who believe in Jesus Christ, they gave their life to him. Through his righteousness, we can get to heaven. God has nothing to offer you except grace because of Jesus Christ. And I believe that we have nothing to offer God except the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus was perfect on this planet. Nobody else is. So we need everybody in this world needs Jesus Christ. The reason? Because nobody is perfect. There are so many nice people. There are so many good people in the world. There are so many philanthropists in the world. They are doing great things. But their good deeds cannot help them to go to heaven. They need Jesus. Only Jesus is the way to get to heaven. We will never be good enough. We need Jesus. Because God is holy God. His nature will never change. And second, The word of God, Billy Graham said, the word of God will never change. His word is eternal. Muslim says, Bible is corrupted. It's no more real Bible. Our question is this, show us the real one. So we will leave this Bible. We will not follow this Bible anymore. If you can give us real Bible, we don't need to follow this Bible, read this Bible. His word will never change. And third, God's way to save the nations will never change. God's way will never change. He has been saving people through Jesus Christ. There is no other way to save nations. Nations need Jesus Christ. They need to follow Jesus. They need to listen to Jesus. They need to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Many people in Pakistan, they don't know. They believe that Muhammad, Jesus is good prophet, but he is not son of God. We have to make them known that Jesus is the son of God. He is the only way to go to heaven. Only way. There are not many ways. There is only one way, and he is Jesus Christ. Our passage today, Matthew chapter 28, verses 28 through 20, or 18 to 20. Jesus tells his disciples to go and make disciples. This is the primary way he has been made known to the nations for nearly 2,000 years. This is the primary way he has been made known for the nations. Go and make disciples. Word go. Go and make disciples. This word, if we just ponder upon this passage, we would know that God commanded Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, go to the land. Let's read Genesis 12 from verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. God told Abraham, go to the land I will show you. Jesus told his disciples, go and make disciples. To me, going is obeying, and obeying is blessing. If Jesus wanted to conquer our make him known in the world, they had to go. And they went. And when disciples, they obeyed Jesus' mandate, our master's mandate, they went in all over the world, all the nations, to the unreached people, unreached world. And this is the result of their going, that today, out of 3%, one is Christian. They made Jesus known to the nations. Go and make disciples. God told Abraham, go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. Genesis chapter 12, first three verses. In these three verses, word barak, Hebrew word barak, blessing, has been used five times. Five times word barak or blessing has been used in Genesis chapter 12 verses 1 to 3. The reason world would never be blessed without you and me. Jesus will never be known to the nations without you and me. He used his disciples. He used Abraham, And he wants to use us. He is looking for people who are ready to serve him, to make him known in the nations. We need to go. We have to go, because going is obeying. Go and make disciples. Jesus gave mandate to his disciples, you have to go. And they went. They witnessed Jesus. They preached his name. And nations were blessed. Nation knew Jesus Christ through their going. We have to go. Maybe sometime, I have seen in my life, every Sunday I preach in 3 churches in my country. Sunday is a very busy day for me. Friday I preach in my 4th church, because Sunday I don't have time. So my assistant pastor who is helping me, he preaches on Sunday in my 4th church. That's good. I don't need to think more about going and making disciples, making him known. But it doesn't make me satisfied. I'm not satisfied with that. I have hunger to reach the nations, to reach the people who doesn't know the name of Jesus Christ. Northern parts, Kailash people, I don't know people have been gone there or not, but that was my heart, to go and tell them about Jesus Christ. Now we are planning to go Ishmaelites. Have you heard about Hunza Valley? In Hunza Valley, I heard there are Ishmaelites. They are the descendants of Ishmael. They believe that. They are not Muslims. No, I am planning to reach to them. We have to go. And second, make disciples. The command to make disciples implies that someone was not a disciple and then became a disciple. The command to make disciples is not a command to mature existing disciples, though that is an important aspect of discipleship. Instead, we are talking about pre-conversion, conversion, and post-conversion. We have to make disciples, not only in America, not only in Pakistan, all the nations. And third mandate is, of all nations, you go make disciples in all the disciples of all nations. All nations needs Jesus Christ. They need Jesus, only Jesus. The word nation is better understood as an ethnic people group. Though we may not all go to all peoples, we are all responsible to bring the gospel to all unreached people. We have to make him known to all nations. I preached in many churches in America. I love to tell my American brothers and sisters, I love this nation. I don't know why. American embassy, they denied my visa 4 times. First time I applied visa in 2009. I was stubborn. I said, I will not give up. I will keep on applying my visa. 2 times they denied my visa in Pakistan. Then I came to Korea for my master's study. I applied again 2 times. They said, no, you are not allowed to enter in America. I said, okay. Then after finishing my master's degree, I went to Pakistan. I was there for 2 years. Then my friend told me, this university is giving scholarship. It is good to finish your PhD. I said, I'm okay. Then I prayed to God. God, I just sensed, I asked God, if you will provide me ticket so I can come back and forth. I mean, after semester, I want to be back in Pakistan. I cannot stay for 1 year in Korea. I want to stay 3.5 months in Korea and 2.5 months in Pakistan. This is what happened exactly. I've completed my PhD back and forth. I was in Pakistan and Korea. So then in 2016, I prayed and I sensed it. Some assurance came in my heart and mind. You will go in 2017. I said, okay, in December 2016, I prayed to God, God, if everything will go smoothly, I will know that this is your will. Otherwise, I'm not going to apply again. I don't have $160 to give them again. But if it is your will, I will do. So I applied. Everything went smoothly, to be honest. My professor, he told me, I need a letter. He said, no problem. I know you already. Letter is there. I asked my Korean pastor, Pastor, can you write a letter for me? He said, just write letter and send in email. I will just sign. Isn't it grace? This is grace of Lord Jesus Christ. And when I went to embassy, that lady asked me one question. Isn't it hard or isn't it difficult to be Christian in Pakistan? I said, yes, it is. I don't know, she asked me this question out of curiosity or out of sympathy or out of investigation. I don't know. But anyway, she gave me visa. For 5 years, multiple visa. I love this nation. So wherever I go, I try to encourage people. That's my slogan. I'm not here to teach you. I'm not here to preach you. I'm here to remind you. You see, Pastor Koti, I believe he's far better teacher than me. Far better preacher than me. I can just remind you. You know already everything. You're smart people. You are the greatest nation in the world. So I tell my American brothers and sisters. They ask me, do you have McDonald's in Pakistan? I said, yes. Do you have Pizza Hut in Pakistan? I said, yes. KFC, yes. We have KFC. We have Hardee's. We have blue jeans in Pakistan. We have everything but you have in America. What America does, it makes impact in the world. Your economy makes impact. When I was doing my master in English, I read this beautiful quote, rise of nation is rise of everything. When a nation rises, everything people want to do what they do. Rise of nation is rise of everything. Your nation's rise has been making great impact in the world. What American does, whole the world does. What you wear, whole the world wears. What you eat, whole the world eat. Muslim, they eat burger. They eat McDonald's. They eat Hardee's. They eat Burger King. They eat Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut's burger, pizza. They wear blue jeans, even they have long beard. But still they wear blue jeans. But your impact should not be just to give nations burger, pizza, or blue jeans. Your ancestors have given gospel to the nations. Your forefathers had been reached in the nations. I am the fruit of American missionaries. My forefathers, they accepted Jesus Christ. My great-great-grandfather accepted Jesus Christ through American missionaries. This is your turn to reach the nations. You can do that. If a pastor from a poor country, third world country, can come to America and encourage you this morning, how about you? God has blessed you a lot. It's easier for you to reach the nations than me. Many nations, many countries, they don't issue me visa. When they look at my passport, green passport, Pakistani passport, they say, no, you are not allowed to go to our nation. Who knows, you will blast bomb there. You will do some bad thing there. So they don't want to issue visa to Pakistani Christians. But God has given you everything to reach the nations. I want to challenge you this morning. Now it is your turn. Your ancestors already have done. They have given gospel to Pakistani, Indian, and many other nations. This nation has done a lot. America is just 5% of the world. 5% of the world. But you have given 97% funds of the world. 97% funds are given by the American nation. But you are just 5% of the world. This is the reason God has blessed this land. Mission is heart of God. Reaching to the nations is heart of God. I want to encourage you. I want to just challenge you. It is your turn to reach the nations. World needs Jesus Christ. They need to know who Jesus is. Still many people, they don't know about Jesus. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy, and of the Holy Spirit. We have to baptize them in the Father of the in the Father and in the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to observe everything I commanded you. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. I believe you, every one of you love Jesus Christ. But we have to obey his command to go and make disciples in all nations. We have to glorify him not only in North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina. We have to make him known in all the nations. Nations are waiting for you. And above all, remember, I am with you always, so the end of the age. He is with us. You are not going alone. Jesus is going with you. He will never leave you alone. He will be with you. When somebody decided to reach the nations, he touched God's heart. Because mission is heart of God. And when somebody decided to serve him to reach the nations, Jesus was with that man or woman who decided to serve him to reach the nations, to make him known in the nations. He is with us. My dear brothers and sisters, this morning, are you ready? Have you ever felt that Jesus is calling me to reach the nations, to make the disciples? If you want to touch the heart of God, you have to follow this call, this command, this great mandate. Go and make disciples in all nations. We have to go. God is opening door for me to go to Uganda in January. It's not decided yet, but I believe I'm going. And my friend, he told me, people are more excited to see you than American. Because he told me we have American preachers all the time from in Uganda, but we never had ever Pakistani preacher. So people are waiting for you. I said, are you sure? He said, yes. I believe that my story, my life has been a great encouragement for the people. The reason when people think, oh, are there Christians in Pakistan? And when they look at me, they believe that, oh, there are Christians in Pakistan. So he told me, you must come. So I'm just trying to find the ticket stuff and everything. I said, okay, help me to get visa. I believe God is good. I'm trying to touch his heart because mission is God's heart. So he told me people are waiting for you because they cannot imagine that there is a Christian in Pakistan and preacher is in Pakistan and he is coming to Uganda, Africa. So that is giving me more encouragement, more. I am just eager to go there to preach the word of God, to tell them, Jesus, through Jesus Christ we are saved. Through Jesus Christ we are going to get to heaven. He is the only way. We need to accept him as our Lord and Savior. This morning, we have to make him known to all the nations. I would request Pastor Koti, please would you come and pray for me and pray for everybody who has heard this message this morning, so we can get this vision that Jesus is calling us to reach the nations.
Thank you, Amir. Let's pray together.